Hallelujah. 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 Welcome, welcome. Welcome to day two of the masterclass. Hallelujah. 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 Welcome to day number two of the Prophetic Dance Masterclass. I see you, Tikizwa. Hallelujah. Welcome, Busi. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're welcome, man of God, Apostle Walker. You're welcome. I welcome everybody in this life today. This is the day that the Lord has made for us to rejoice and to be glad in it. We shall rejoice in this day. We will be glad in this day. This is the day of the Lord on this 30th day of the month of August 2023. This is the day where the Lord is going to do his mighty work in our midst. This is a new day. It is not like yesterday. We are expected for more from God, that he will do exceedingly abundantly above that which he has done yesterday, that he will do even more this day in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. Can we just pray? Rebaya bata kola masante yaya. Rabaya kala mandele beki ala mandeya. Just pray. Just release yourself to the Lord. Just open up yourself to the Lord. Just ask the Lord to release a fresh outpouring, a fresh download, a fresh revelation, a fresh knowledge of his word today concerning the dance. Father, we are here. We are open to hear from you. May you speak, Almighty God. May you speak through us even this day. May you do a new thing in our midst. May you speak your heart and your mind. We are here. We are your vessels. We want more. We ask for more. We need more of you. Do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and think of you, according to your power that worketh in us. Move by your spirit in our midst. Do that which no man can do. Do that which only God can do. Father, we are so expectant. Father, we are expectant to hear from you. Oh God, do it, we are here. Do it, we are here. Oh Father, we pray, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. 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 Greetings, greetings, beloved. You are all welcome in this place today. This is day number two of the Prophetic Dance Masterclass. Yesterday, the Lord shared with us some few things concerning dance, new things that we didn't even know. But the Lord has been downloading and outpouring, and we're believing him for more even this day, that today he will do a different direction. He will go a different way, oh God, in the name of Jesus. So you are all welcome today. As we come, we say we are kingdom reformers. We are a wing of kingdom reformers that is called Prophetic Dance Activation. We are about our dance. We love the Lord. We love the dancers. We love dancing for the Lord. We are here to raise dancers for the Lord. We are here to answer a call from from the Lord to awaken, to activate, to recharge, to refresh, to restore the dancers all over the nations. So this is a global awakening. This is a global move. As the Lord said yesterday, that is doing a new thing. The Lord is doing a new thing in the area of dance. The Lord is doing a new thing. And he has raised us up in this time so that we may awaken the weary dancers, that we may awaken those who are wounded dancers, that we may awaken those who have been sleeping, that we may awaken those who are dead. The Lord is awakening his people, his dancers, so that they can be repositioned and realigned for the mighty move of God. We're believing that there is a revival coming. The heavens are pregnant with revival. The heavens are pregnant, and the heavens are about to give birth to a mighty move of God. And who better to position themselves than the worshipers? Who better to position themselves in the forefront? We know when David came to bring the presence of the Lord, when David came to bring the ark back into its position, into its place, he positioned the dancers, he positioned the worshipers, he positioned the priests. Yes, people have been praying. Yes, people have been worshiping. And now the time for the dancers to arise and to usher in the presence of God back to its place, back into the world, back into the nations. Yes, we are expecting God to move, and we are ready, ready, ready. And we ask God to make us ready as the dancers to be used of him to usher this move of God, this revival, this presence of God all over the world and throughout the nations of the earth, in the name of Jesus. So today is day two. Today I'm going to be speaking about prophetic dance. Yesterday we spoke about the biblical foundations of dance. What is dance? How do people call dance? Why are we dancing? What happens when we dance to the Lord? What happens in the church? What happens in the territory? You know, so today the Lord is just bringing us into, a deeper understanding or an understanding or knowledge of what is prophetic dance. So today we're going to be diving in into prophetic dance. But before we dive in, yesterday the Lord gave us a word. It was in the book of Esther, chapter 1, from verse 7 to verse 8. And yesterday, the Lord spoke about verse 7. But today, the Lord wants us to, he wants to speak to us about verse 8. So I'm going to read it again so that we can hear what the word of the Lord is. Hallelujah. The Bible says in verse number 7 of Esther chapter 1, someone can write it on the screen for us. And they served drinks in golden vessels, each vessel being different from the other, with royal wine in abundance, according to the generosity of the king. Verse number 8. In accordance with the law, the drinking was not compulsory, for so the king had ordered all the officers of his household that they should do according to each man's pleasure. I'm going to read verse 8 again. In accordance with the law, the drinking was not compulsory, for so the king had ordered all the officers of his household that they should do according to each man's pleasure. Each man's pleasure. The law and the Lord ordering his men, his officers. So the Lord began to say to me that as he spoke to us yesterday, that there is abundance of wine, that there is wine that needs to be distributed. He's looking for dancers that will arise and distribute the wine. But as dancers, we can't distribute what we do not have. We can't distribute what is not in us. In order for us to be able to distribute the wine, we need to drink the wine first, and then we can be able to distribute it to others. We can't distribute what we do not carry within us. So we
need the presence of God to start with us. We need the wine of God to be with us first. We need the presence of God to be with us first. We need God to equip us, to train us, you know, and channel the anointing and the flow of the Spirit in our movements according to His purpose first, so that we may be able to redistribute the wine. There are vessels that are needed in order for the wine to be distributed. But the other problem, you know, yesterday the Lord told us that there were three problems. There were two problems. The other problems was, you know, the vessels comparing themselves to the other. And then the other one was that, you know, the vessels were comparing themselves to the other, and the vessels were looking down on themselves, and therefore they could not carry the wine. They could not do what the Lord had called them to do. But today, the other third thing that has been highlighted is that these vessels are there, but these vessels, even though the wine is in abundance, some of the vessels are empty. Therefore, they cannot be able to distribute what is not there. You can only multiply what you are. You can only multiply what you have. You cannot multiply what you do not have. And therefore, the Lord said, there needs to be dancers that will hunger for the Lord. There needs to be worshipers that rises that will hunger for the Lord. The church needs to arise in its place and hunger for the Lord. The Lord said, there is abundance of wine, but I can't give the wine forcefully. This wine will not be by force. This wine will not be, you know, there is no law to force people to drink this wine. Each and every vessel has to empty itself. Each and every vessel has to become hungry. Each and every vessel has to be emptied so that the fresh wine can come in, so that the new wine can come in. There is a new wine that the Lord wants to distribute throughout the earth, but He's looking for vessels that are empty so that they can be able to contain the wine. The vessels that are hungry, vessels that are thirsty. God is looking for people. The Lord said that the more you hunger, the more He will feel. The more you thirst, the more He will pour. He cannot pour to a vessel that is full to the brim. He will only pour to a vessel that is hungry for Him. He will only feel a vessel that is empty for Him. He will only feel a vessel that's available for Him. God is looking for a people that will pay the price, that will pay the price so that the oil can come. There is a greater price that needs to be paid so that the oil can be poured. That price this day is thirst and hunger for the Lord, putting aside every agenda, putting aside every business, putting aside all your desires, and that you will have one desire, and that desire is to seek the Lord, and that desire is to worship the Lord, and that desire is to run after God. That desire is to be a glory carrier. You cannot carry the glory if you don't have the glory. The Lord wants to fill us overflowing with His glory. But the one thing that is needed is for people that have a poor spirit and a people that have a contrite heart. Those the Lord, He will look upon. When you hunger for Him, the Lord will fill you. When you thirst for Him, the Lord will pour from the abundance of reservoirs that the Lord has. He has ordered angels on your behalf. He has assigned angels on your behalf. They are standing ready. They are waiting for you to hunger. They are waiting for you to desire. They are waiting for you to seek Him. And as you seek Him, as you desire Him, as you chase after Him, they will pour the wine. They will pour the wine, for there is an abundance of wine. There is an overflow of wine in the heavenlies, waiting for people that say, "Yes, Lord, here am I. I'm ready. Use me. Pour your wine on me. Let this thing start with me. Let it start with me, so that it can go and spread to others. Let this fire start with me, so that it can spread like wildfire to others." And therefore, the requirement, the price to pay, is to hunger, is to thirst, is to fast, is to pray, is to put aside some other engagements and seek the Lord. We have so much busy schedules, but we need to put aside time for the Lord. There's so much business happening, and most of the business is a distraction from the camp of the enemy, because he knows how much damage happens when you get into your altar. He knows how much damage happens when you get into the presence, and therefore he tries to distract the glory carriers so that they may not be able to carry the glory. Oh, the Lord is saying, put aside all distraction, put aside all your business, for this business does not show forth good results. And when you seek me, when you seek me, just one day in my courts, it's like 1,000 days elsewhere. There will be greater results, there will be greater glory, there will be greater outpouring, there will be greater miracles, just by one person saying, I'm putting aside, I'm closing the door to all the noise in the world, and I am praying, and I am fasting. God is looking for worshipers in this hour that will have a lifestyle of fasting and prayer, that will fast and pray and thirst for the Lord. And when we thirst for him, he will fill us up. And therefore these angels, they are standing on guard. They are waiting for you to thirst. And the more you thirst, the more they fill. Oh my God, there is no measure of how much you will get. There is no measure of how much they've been assigned to give you. The measure is determined by you. It's a blank check. It's a blank check. Whatever amount you sign, it gets to you, it becomes yours. So this blank check is according to your measure of thirst and hunger. And these angels have been told not to force you to drink. The wine is in abundance, but no one is forced to drink. No one is, you know, the drinking of the wine is not compulsory, but the drinking of the wine desires an appetite for God, an appetite for his presence, an appetite for his glory, an appetite for his wine. And the more we thirst, the more the wine will be poured out. The more we thirst, the more we hunger, the more the wine will be poured out. So that is the lifestyle of worship dancers that the Lord is looking for. Dancers who will pray. Dancers who will, you know, seek after God. And as we fast and pray, that produces a devotion to the Lord. And when this devotion happens, you know, it automatically causes us to come to the place where the word becomes the mirror, and the word begins to, you know, develop the godly character in us. There are things that God wants to remove that are not of him in our lives. There are things he wants to clean. There are spirits he wants to deliver us from, but he needs for us to get to a place of still before him. And as we come still before him, he's going to bring about the deliverance with seeking his face, with the word, with prayer, with worship, and with fasting. So the Lord is calling on us to hunger and to thirst for him in this season, as he's about to pour out his wine and distribute his wine all over the earth. Hallelujah. So today we're going to be talking about prophetic dance. What is prophetic dance? You know, and prophetic dance is a very deep subject, you know, and for sure we will, you know, there are many, you know, dimensions and manifold of what worship dance, of prophetic dance is. But I'm just going to touch on a few tonight. This is where the starts begins. That's what the Lord said to me this morning, you know, this day when I was, like, you know, getting ready to come. And the Lord said, prophetic dance is where the warfare begins. It's where the fight begins. Because yesterday we were talking about praising God, you know, because of what he has done for us.
and we talked about, you know, worshiping God like David did. So we were lovey-dovey. We were also, oh, Father, you are holy. Oh, Lord, you are worthy. Oh, Lord, you are glorious. Oh, Lord, there is none like you. You alone are king. You alone are mighty. You alone are victorious. You are the King of glory. You are the glorifying Father. And therefore, yesterday, we were so lovey-dovey. You know, our movements, you know, our dances were the dances of love to the Lord. We were just worshiping the Lord. We were just, you know, enjoying the beauty of his splendor, you know, in his presence. But after we praise, after we worship, comes the prophetic. What is the prophetic? Or what is prophetic dance? Prophetic dance is where God responds. You remember, we were in the outer court. You know, let's go back to the tabernacle of Moses. We were in the outer court. We were praising God because he released us, you know, from bondages, you know, just like the Israelites did. We were praising God because he warred for us and he destroyed the Egyptians. And, you know, there was a miraculous breakthrough, you know, so we are praising God because of what he did. We were in the outer court. And then we began to worship the Lord. We worship the Lord. And as we were worshiping the Lord, we went from the outer court. We went into the holy place. We went into the inner court, which is the holy place. And we began to worship God. We began to lift him up. We began to exalt him. We began to, you know, shabak the Lord and lift him and exalt him and tell him who he is. And when we were worshiping God in the dance, we were in the inner court, in the holy place. But when we are in the holy place, the Lord, when he is glorified with our worship dance, with our worship singing, then he begins to respond to us. And that is the place where God is taking us. That is our destination when we are worshiping. Yes, we are just there to worship, but we need not neglect the place where God begins to talk to us, because when he talks to us, there are marvelous things that happen just by the sound of his voice. So we were in the outer court yesterday, praising God in the dance. We were in the holy place, in the inner court, where we began to worship the Lord. And then we now going to the place, the most holy place, where we have a face-to-face encounter with the Lord, where God begins to speak, where God begins to respond, because we were worshiping him. There is no way we would just come before the presence of God and worship him, and there is no way that God will not respond to our worship. So when we worship God in the dance, he begins to respond to us. So that is what prophetic dance is. Prophetic dance means God responds to us. He speaks to us. Prophetic dance means this is the response of God to our worship. Prophetic dance means this is a voice of God activated through our movements. Remember, we are not talking about singing the song of the Lord or prophesying only with the song of the Lord, but we are talking about prophesying with our bodies, prophesying with our movements. So as we were worshiping God, he draws us into the most holy place, where it is nothing about us, but it is about him. He releases his voice. He begins to speak to us. And this is the very place that the enemy does not want us to get into. As long as we are praising, he's fine. As long as we are worshiping, he's fine. But the minute the voice of the Lord is activated and God begins to speak, he becomes scared. That's why he fights that place of the prophetic. That's why he fights with prophetic people. That's why he will fight the prophetic movements, because he does not want the people of God to taste and see that the Lord is good. Not only do we come to him and worship, but
but he also responds to our worship. And that is what we say is the prophetic. And that is what we say is the prophetic movement. It is the voice of the Lord. Can we go to the book of Psalms 29? The book of Psalms 29. I want us to read it quickly because I want us to, you know, to see the voice of the Lord. Psalms 29 from verse 3, it says, "The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedar of Lebanon, the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire." Verse 8, "The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare, and in his temple everyone says glory." So when we begin to, you know, move in the prophetic or move in the prophetic dances, the Lord releases his voice. And what does the voice of the Lord sound like to the enemy? What does the voice of the Lord sound like to us? Because the voice of the Lord, the Bible says the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord carries power. So there are things in our lives, there are things in our churches, there are things in our territories that stands as strongholds. You know, they don't want to be removed. No matter how much we pray, no matter how much at times we, you know, we do warfare, but they waiting for the voice of the Lord to come and to break those things. So there are things that can only respond to the voice of the Lord in the earth, whether it be in our lives, in our churches, in our territories. So the voice of the Lord carries power. The voice of the Lord carries authority. There's an authority that is released when the voice of the Lord is. Because where the voice of the Lord is, it means that God is in that place. And when God is in that place, no enemy can be able to stand. No enemy can be able to raise its head. No enemy can be able to attack the people of God. When the voice of the Lord is released upon the earth, the enemies become defeated. That's why the enemy fights the prophetic. That's why the enemy fights prophetic people. He fights prophets. He fights prophetic dancers. It's because he does not want them to release the power of God upon the earth, so that people can be liberated, so that people can be delivered. So the voice of the Lord carries power, number one. Number two, the voice of the Lord carries authority. Whatever he says, it goes. So when God releases his voice through your movements, whatever he says in the lives of individuals, it goes. Whatever he decrees, whatever he declares, it comes to pass, because the voice of the Lord carries authority and carries power. It carries the weight of God. It carries the glory of God. And therefore, whatever he says, it goes. And the other third thing that happens is that the voice of the Lord is able to break hard things. There are things that are deeply entrenched. There are spirits, there are demons, there are high things, there are thoughts that are deeply entrenched in the lives of people, in doctrines, in churches, in individuals, in territories, in governments, in the mountains of society. They only need the voice of the Lord. For where the voice of the Lord is, it's able to break the cedars of Lebanon. What are the cedars of Lebanon? The cedars of Lebanon, you know, are regarded as the kings of the trees. It's because they have so much length. They are so long that they go even up to 120 feet tall. And their trunk can go up to 80 feet, you know, in width. Therefore, these trees are strong trees. They are the strongest of trees. So the cedars of Lebanon are regarded as things that cannot be easily broken. But when the voice of the Lord is released, Mantala Bakuya Bate, Shitarabaya kitosa, rimantika tabarikutisa. When the voice of the Lord is released, the cedars of Lebanon are broken. The ancient spirits are broken over territories, over families, over people's lives, over churches, because the voice of the Lord is the only one that's able to break the cedars of Lebanon. The voice of the Lord, number four, the voice of the Lord is able to divide flames of fire. I don't know how many fires have been raised up against you, and you know that these are strange fires. These are not the true fires. We have so many strange fires, even in the house of God. We have so many strange fires, even in the altar of the Most High God. There are how many mixtures? There are unholy mixtures. There are people that go to sangomas so that they can carry power. There are so many mixtures in the body of Christ, and therefore there are strange altars that produces strange fires in individuals, in churches, in territories. There's so much rise of witchcraft, even in territories. So there are false fires, and the voice of the Lord is the only one that is able to divide the fires. When the fires are divided, it means that the fires are extinguished. May the Lord today begin to raise up dancers that will carry the voice of the Lord, dancers who will prophesy, prophetic dancers that will dance and release the voice of the Lord in every mountain and sphere of society, so that the strange fires can be extinguished. There are so many strange fires, and I believe that the Lord is calling on us as dancers to arise with the Lord, so that the Lord can break these strange fires. There are strange fires, and I believe the time is over for them, but the Lord is looking for you. He's looking for you, so that you can avail yourself and say, yes, Lord, use me. I'm available as your prophetic minister. I'll stir up the gift of prophecy in me. Lord, raise me up as a worship dancer, as a prophetic minister, as a prophetic intercessor, as a prophetic preacher. The Lord wants to raise each and every one of us. The Bible says desire to prophesy. There is nothing wrong with desiring to be prophetic. Not all of us are prophets, but many of us are prophetic, and the Lord wants every one of us to be prophetic, and the prophetic gift is in abundance. All is needed is for you to desire that gift, and as you walk into your purpose, and as you walk into your giftings, whether you are a teacher of the word, whether you are a preacher of the word, whether you are a dancer, whether you are a singer, whether you are a minstrel, whether you are a guitarist, you need to have the prophetic gift, so that you may tap into the strings, you may tap into the sound, and you flow prophetically. You flow in a new way that releases the voice of the Lord, that will activate the prophetic dancers, that will activate the prophetic singers, that there may be one accord, that there may be in one accord, that the prophetic intercessors can be activated, so that we can all flow and release the voice of the Lord in every sphere and in every mountain where God has positioned you. He wants you to become his prophetic minister, so that you may release the voice of the Lord, so that the strange altars can be extinguished wherever you have been positioned, in the name of Jesus. The fifth thing, the voice of the Lord causes the deer to give birth. The voice of the Lord causes the deer to give birth. When I studied this thing of the deer, it says that a deer has difficulty in giving birth. A deer has so much pains in giving birth. A deer does not give birth easily. But the Bible says the voice of the Lord causes the deer to give birth. So through your prophetic movements, you can usher in, you can release the voice of the Lord that will cause deers to give birth. I don't know the situation in your life. I don't know how what you are pregnant with, but I believe that when the voice of the Lord is released, the Lord will cause you to give birth to your purpose, to your assignment, to your calling, to that which God has called you to do. The Lord will cause you to give birth in your time. So the voice of the Lord causes a realignment. The voice of the Lord causes a realignment. Whether it was not yet your time to give birth, or you thought it was not your time to give birth, or people thought it was not your time to give birth, when the voice of the Lord is released over your life, the voice of the Lord is released over the territory, people are aligned, destinies are aligned, purposes are aligned, and they begin to give birth in its time, in its season, not premature, not later, but at the right time, at the right place, with the right resources, because the Lord is the God of alignment. So when the voice of the Lord is released, the Lord will cause realignment. The interpretation I read, it says that because the deers, you know, have difficulty with giving birth, and it talks about the voice of the Lord being like a thunder. So it means that there is a storm, you know, whenever the deers are about to give birth. There's sometimes a season or a process whereby there are storms. So because of this thunder, the deers become afraid. They hide themselves. They become afraid. They run away from people. They keep themselves in secluded places because of fear. So the deers become afraid of the storm. They become afraid of the thunder, not knowing that the thunder is there to prepare them, not knowing that the thunder is the one that is bringing them to a secluded place so that they may give birth at the right time, at the right place, you know, in the right way. So these deers become afraid and they hide themselves. But this translation, it says they it hastens, you know, the voice of the Lord hastens, it quickens the process of birthing so that they don't get too much pains. Not that it does not have pains, but the pains are not prolonged, you know, the pains are not longer, or the pains are not severe. So the voice of the Lord will quicken them, and because their focus is no longer on the pain, but the focus is on the fear, and therefore they neglect, or they forget about the pain, and they give birth quickly than they were supposed to. They give birth at the right time. They give birth at the right place, because the voice took them to the wilderness. The voice took them to a secluded place. I don't know how many of you that are here, you have been running away from your assignment. You have been running away from your purpose. You have been running away from the will of the Lord. You have been hiding in, you know, in caves. You have been hiding. You have been running away like Elijah. But the voice of the Lord is about to catch you where you are. The voice of the Lord is about to be released where you are. And the voice of the Lord will cause you to give birth at the right time, at the right season, at the right way, in the right place, because the voice of the Lord will align you to fear God and not fear men. One thing that the voice of the Lord does, it trains you to fear God and not to fear men. You will not be afraid of men. When the voice of the Lord is released over your life, you will begin to have fear for the Lord. Your focus will be on the Lord. Your fear will be fear for God, because fear of men cripples and fear of men hinders the flow of God to many individuals. There are many people that are supposed to do a work for the Lord, but they can't do that work because of fear of what they will say, fear of how they will treat me, fear of how they will behave around me, fear of what they will say to me or about me. But the voice of the Lord is being released even right now, so that that fear of men can be broken and you will be directed to have fear for God, and not fear for men. The Lord is releasing his voice through these airways so that you will no longer fear men, but you will fear God. The time for the fear of men is over, and the time for fear God is here. And when you fear God, you begin to walk in a alignment. When you fear God, you begin to do what he says. When you fear God, you begin to, you know, to run after your purpose. You begin to run after the plan of God for your life. When you fear God, you know, no man can become a hindrance to you anymore. And therefore, the Lord is breaking the spirit of fear of men over your lives. He's breaking the spirit of fear of people. What they will say, how they will behave, how will they look at me, what are they going to do to me? The Lord is breaking and is bringing in boldness so that you may fear him. And when you fear him, you will become bold as a lion. When you fear him, you will do what he says you must do, because you will be on your toes wanting to please him than wanting to please them. And therefore, the time is now for you to please God and not to please men. So the voice of the Lord carries weight. The voice of the Lord is powerful. We need the voice of God. We need the dancers to arise. We need Judah to go first. We need Judah to awaken. This is the time of the awakening of Judah. You are Judah. You are here. You are a worshiper. You are a singer. You are a minstrel. You are a guitarist. You are, you know, you play the keyboard. You play the sound. You are a preacher. You are a prophetic preacher. You are a prophetic teacher. You are a prophetic evangelist. Whatever it is, God wants us to be prophetic so that we may release the voice of the Lord, and not our voices, but the voice of the Lord, and not the voices of men, but the voice of God. Hallelujah. So Judah must go first. Dancers arise. Prophetic dancers arise. Go first. Be in the front line so that the ark can come back, so that the glory can come back, so that the wine can be redistributed into the right people at the right time, in the right way. So prophetic dance, what is prophetic dance? Prophetic dance is the voice of the Lord demonstrated through our movements. It is the language of movements. So prophetic dance, it speaks through our bodies. God speaks, he speaks through our bodies. A heavenly language that, you know, the people that God is speaking to, they will catch, they will understand, and they will run with it, because it carries power. It carries weight, it carries authority. And when we hear from God, you know, or when we are dancers, as dancers, prophetic dancers, there are tools or there are instruments that as dancers we use in order to show, in order to reveal, in order, you know, to demonstrate, you know what the Lord is saying. Remember, from our attires that we choose, from the songs that we choose, from the words or the demonstration, the instruments we use, they all are directed by God. It is the Lord who directs for us. The Holy Spirit is the one who will say how to dance, which song to sing, to dance to, how to do the movements, and which instruments to use in the movement. There are many different instruments that we use, and I believe that Dr. Dawn tomorrow, when she comes, maybe she will also touch on that there are many instruments that, you know, that we use in order to dance. Today I'm just gonna demonstrate just a few, because of time. I'm just gonna do just a few instruments. One of the instruments that I'm gonna be demonstrating is the rod. The rod, you know, in Hebrew is also known as matar. It is the matar stick. In Hebrew, the word rod is matar. It represents the rod, or it represents the staff. If you go to Psalms 23 from verse 4, it says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." So when you see the rod, when you see dancers carrying the rod, when you see dancers dancing and using the rod, Know what the rod signifies. It signifies the protection of God. It signifies security. It signifies the guidance of God. It signifies the comfort of God. It signifies that the presence of the shepherd is here. There is no way the rod can be there if the shepherd is not there. The rod is always with the shepherd. The rod goes hand in hand together with the shepherd. So the rod represents the presence of the shepherd, which is God, our shepherd. The Bible speaks of, you know, God is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd in Psalms 23. So this rod also prophetically signifies the rod that Moses carried when he went, you know, when he was used by God to release the people of God, the Israelites, before Pharaoh. There was a rod that God gave Moses. He said, "What is it that is in your hands?" Remember, Moses used to be a shepherd, and therefore he was carrying a rod. And the Lord said, "I'm gonna make this rod to be different. I don't know the giftings and the graces that God has given you, the rod that is in your hand, but the Lord wants to change that rod from the fleshly, you know, ways of using the rod, so that spiritual, miraculous ways of the Lord can begin to manifest." The Lord said to Moses, "Take that rod, that which you are familiar with, that which you thought it is just nothing, but the Lord used it for power to release his people before Pharaoh." So there is a rod that the Lord has given you. So when we wave this rod, we are reminding you that use your rod, use your gift, your graces, use your anointing, use that which God has given you for his glory, so that the Israelites can be liberated. When you begin to use your rod, Israelites will be released into their purpose and into their destinies. So the rod speaks of the miraculous. It's also a sign of the miraculous. Remember, Moses, you know, used the rod, he threw it down and the rod became a snake. And then this rod was the very same rod that swallowed up the snakes of Pharaoh when his magicians tried to mimic what God was doing. There are many magicians that are out there that are trying to mimic what God is doing. But when the true comes, the true will swallow the fake. When the true rises, when the ones that are carrying the truth arise, when the dancers, when the prophetic ministers that are carrying the truth arise and begin to use the rod that God has given them, the false ones will be swallowed up by the true one that God has ordained in the earth and has given to his church and to his people in the earth. So when this rod is there, it signifies, when we use this rod, it signifies breakthroughs. It swallows up all the other false snakes that were there. It is a symbol of deliverance. So when we do this, when we begin to use the rod, it is a sound of warfare. When we use the rod, we are reminding the church to arise to its place and to begin to war. Even right now, I'm just gonna do a demonstration with this song so that you can be liberated. I believe the Lord wants to liberate some of you from every contention of the enemy, from every warfare that you have been in. And today we therefore declare that the voice of the Lord is resounding in the earth, that the voice of the Lord is resounding in the earth, that the voice of the Lord is being released, and therefore the Lord is beginning to war on the behalf of his people. Bantala bako soko yantala, rikama yantala baka yante, ribo bo bo bo. Shama yakaka, kimandele bo 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 sa. Ha, ha. Boundary for God. When we use the rod, we are declaring that that place belongs to the Lord. We are marking the boundary for God. When we are doing this, we are marking the boundary for God. We decree that the rulership of God has come into that place. We decree the liberty from all territorial spirits that have been holding the people down, that have been holding the church down. People are being released. So we begin to use this as demonstrations, as a prophetic voice that is resounding in the earth, saying, let my people go. So when we use this rod, we are saying, let my people go. We are commanding, the Lord is commanding the spirit of Pharaoh to be loosed from his people. He releases his people from every cage, from every demonic trap, from every enslavement, from the kingdom of darkness. So when we use this rod, we are saying, release, release, deliverance, deliverance from all bondage of Pharaoh, and liberty comes in your life, in the territory, in the church, in every sphere, and in every mountain of society. The people of the Lord are released from whatever that has entrapped them in the name of Jesus. So these prophetic symbols, or these prophetic, or these tools, they are prophetic in its nature because they are demonstrating what the voice of the Lord. They carry power, they carry weight. These things, brethren, are spiritual. And the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to God, to the pulling down of strongholds. So this is a weapon of warfare. Don't just look at this when we dance as, oh, okay, they are just starting with these things of theirs. This is the weapon of warfare. We are, you know, applying that which is spiritual, and the spiritual forces in the areas of darkness, they understand when we do these things because they know its spiritual significance. And therefore, as the church, we also need to understand these things. We need to learn these things, and we need to implement these things so that our victory can become greater and greater and greater in the name of Jesus. The other thing that we use, you know, it's words. You know, the Bible says that life and death is in the power of the tongue, and those that love it, they shall eat the fruit thereof. So at times, you know, the Lord will give you a word. The Lord will give you a word. You know, the Lord will give you a word and say, joy. It's because maybe there were people during the service as you are dancing that are depressed, people that have come with stress, people that have anxiety. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord changes their season of mourning into joy. And we are announcing a season of joy over the people of God. Even right now, as I wave this word, I'm announcing a season of joy over your lives, over your family, over your children. There's a season of joy that we are releasing right now in the name of Jesus. So these words, they carry weight. They declare what God is saying in heaven. And the Bible says, you shall declare a thing and it shall be established. So these words are not just words, but they carry proclamation. They're proclaiming a thing. They are speaking for the thing. So when you see hope, know that your hope is being restored. When you see the word peace, know that the peace of the Lord has come upon you. The peace that flows like a river is flowing over your life. Even right now, the Lord is releasing peace over your situation. I don't know the situations you've been facing, but the Lord is releasing peace over that situation. And when we release the word grace, we are saying the grace of the Lord is sufficient enough for you. The grace of God is able to help you in whatever situation. When we are saying prayer, we are awakening you, we are activating you, so that prayer can become a lifestyle over your lives, that you may live a lifestyle of prayer, that you will be one who prays without ceasing at all times. And therefore, these symbols, they speak that which the Lord is speaking over his people. We don't just use any symbol. We use that which the Lord says you must use, because he knows what he wants to speak in the earth through those symbols and through those tools that we use. And lastly, I'm going to talk about the dove. I'm going to talk about the dove. We all know what the dove speaks of. We all know that the dove, in the book of John chapter 1, Verse 32, it says, the presence of the Holy Spirit. The dove represents the Holy Spirit, our helper. You know, the dove represents our teacher. The dove represents the presence of the Holy Spirit. The dove also speaks of the coming down of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came down upon Jesus as he was baptized by John. You know, and the Holy Spirit baptism came. So this dove represents the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When we are waving this, we are announcing and proclaiming in the realm of the Spirit that the Holy Spirit has come to touch his people, to comfort his people. The Holy Spirit speaks of comfort. The Holy Spirit speaks of boldness. When the Holy Spirit comes, then you will have boldness. So this dove represents the anointing of God. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, it speaks of the seven spirits of God. So this dove represents the seven spirits of God, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And in John chapter 16, the Bible says the Holy Spirit is our advocate. I don't know the situations that you are pressed with. Maybe some of you are taken to lawyers. There are hard cases that you are facing. There are hard, difficult, you know, situations that you are facing. But the Holy Spirit is here to be your advocate. The Holy Spirit is here to represent you, to be the lawyer in that courtroom where the enemy has locked you and you think that there is no way out. Just ask the Holy Spirit now to become your advocate. Just ask the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, be my advocate. I invite you, Spirit of the Lord, begin to intervene. Be my lawyer in this case. Be my lawyer in this situation. I need you to help me. I need you to help me to walk in truth. The Holy Spirit is symbolic of the Spirit of truth. And therefore, the Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 1, in verse 8, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we shall have power. And therefore, we need power in the earth. We need God to distribute his power in the earth. And no other person can do that but the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit represents boldness. The Bible says in the book of Acts 2, verse 1 to 4, he came like a mighty rushing wind. The Holy Spirit. I want us to go there. The book of Acts chapter 2, Maya Bakonta, Mantebebe Kianta, Lemanto Korobo Santa. The book of Acts chapter 2, from verse 1 to verse 4, it reads as follows. When the day of the Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord, in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from the heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, and as the Spirit gave them utterance. And in verse 8 of chapter 1, it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit is the one who will give you boldness to do your assignment. He is the one who will capacitate you, who will cause you to be bold and not fear man. He is the one who gives us the strength and the boldness and the courage to stand and do what God has called you to do. Sometimes the things that God says you must do, they seem difficult. They seem, you know, undoable. They seem as if, no, it can't be me, maybe someone else. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he enables you to do that which you cannot do. And as we come to the close, I want us to sing the song. And as I dance, I want you to welcome the Holy Spirit to come afresh upon you as a prophetic minister. The Holy Spirit is the one who causes us, who gives us. You know, he comes with the fruits and he comes with the gifts. And therefore, when the gifts comes, he is the one who gives us the gifts of prophecy. And I want you to desire and to pray and ask God, give me the gift gift of prophecy. Lord, I desire to prophesy in whatever sphere you have put me, in whatever area you have called me, in whatever gifting you have given me. Lord, add the gift of prophecy. The Bible tells us we need to desire the gift of prophecy, and all can prophesy, but not all are prophets, but all can prophesy. You don't need to go and buy a prophetic word. You don't need to go to a sangoma to get a word. You don't need to go to a fortune teller to get a word. God has a word for you. God has a word for your situation. God is the one who releases his voice and he speaks to you. You don't need to go to people. You don't need to go up and down, you know, running around looking for who can prophesy to you. But God will give you a word. When he gives you the gift of prophecy, it will start with you. He will start to prophesy over your life. He will tell you what will happen in days to come. He will tell you what will happen to your life in years to come. He will even tell you what will happen to your children and to their children's children. The gift of prophecy is not a bad thing, but the gift of prophecy enables us. It causes us to tap into the dimension where God will see things that are happening. The Bible says lovers of God have been given ears to see, ears to hear, and eyes to see. When you are prophetic, the Lord will open your eyes. He will cause your eyes to see. He will cause your ears to hear, so that you may hear right and that you may see right. There are things you need to see. There are dimensions, the seeing anointing, where you see things so that you can stand in the gap and begin to push them away. Because you are a prophetic minister, because you are an intercessor, God will give you the ability to see those things and to pray those things out of the way, and to see those good things and to pray those good things into the purpose and the manifestation of the will of God for your life. And therefore, as we close, I want you to pray that God will give you a gift of prophecy, that God will activate you. Those who have the gift, may the Lord activate, may the Lord stir up the gift. May you put a hand in your belly and ask God, stir up the gift of prophecy, stir up the gift of prophecy in my life, stir it up, oh God, in the name of Jesus. So as we close, I'm gonna worship with this song, and I'm gonna just stop the live, and I want you to continue to pray to God. I want you to continue to seek the Lord. I want you to continue to flow with the, we know, with prayer, with worship, we know, with the prophetic, because the Lord wants to speak mysteries in your life concerning you, your destiny, your family, your marriage, your children, your career, your purpose, your ministry. There are many things that God wants to speak to you. Hallelujah.
And evangelists to be witnesses throughout the uttermost parts of the earth.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May the Spirit of the Lord continue to flow in your life as we close. Tomorrow, we have a very important announcement. Tomorrow, Dr. Dawn is coming to finish up the class. Dr. Dawn is coming tomorrow to teach, to activate, you know, to demonstrate that which God is saying about the prophetic dance. And therefore, don't forget to set your alarms. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow. Don't miss out. We have a very surprising, wonderful, exciting announcement. See you tomorrow at 8 p.m. South African time and at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So, hallelujah, continue to pray and ask the Lord to activate you and to give you the gift of the prophetic in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.